Can we get much higher?
Nick Dalsando's in the house. He's here thanks to Scooty. Two-wheeled taxi, Scooty. They make your trip exciting. If you want a fun, quick and affordable way to get around town, take a Scooty and download the app today. Hello, Dal.
Hello, Jack. A very good afternoon to you.
Nice to see you.
Always lovely to see you too.
Bit to cover off.
There is.
The Fine Wine Award is back.
Yes.
Today, I heard this last week. I'm excited to see it up close and personal.
The Fine Wine Player of the Round. And we'll get into a little bit more, but here's a little taste of it. And the reason it's come about, I'm sick of young guys getting all the accolades. I'm sick of young players being the future of the game and it's a young man's game. No. There's some guys 30 and over that are playing really good football that have a body of work behind them, Jack, that we'd like to appreciate and actually give them some sort of recognition. Now, it's been an oversight for a long period of time.
Okay.
I'm putting the spotlight on them.
No, I like that.
They deserve it.
You've taken the bull by the horns here.
Enough.
You want to do something about it?
Enough, Connor Rosie. Enough. You had a good game. I'll give you that. 5 goals. Not bad.
Kane Corn said this morning on SENSA Breakfast that he might be the next Nat 5.
Big call. Huge call. I don't know if he's got the body presence, like just the physical size about him to be able to do what Nat does.
Not yet.
I'm even talking about the height, the way that Nat plays.
Go and Google a photo of Nat Fyfe in year one.
How entertaining is that? It is actually really good. We did one of Cam McCarthy on the weekend from his early days at the Suns to his time now at the Dockers. They called him Sunshine, you know, from the movie. They had him Sunshine.
Yeah.
Had the long hair, no headband. He was like freewheeling in the wind. And now you look at him, but it's actually entertaining to go back and look at nearly all players. They come into the league as a skinny 18-year-old and freckles and they're white, got a big buff of hair. And then they, a few years after preseason, 4 or 5 preseasons, they turn into this muscular man that just can hold their own. Always entertaining to go back and have a look.
Have you ever gone back and had a look at your debut year photos?
You know what's funny about
that? Your draft photos? The draft photos are the funniest.
Someone sent me a photo on Twitter. It must have been around about the draft time. So back end of last year from when I was at the Bendigo Pioneers. Now, I reckon I actually weighed more then when I did in my AFL career. I was as skinny then as I am now. No, it's not great. It's not great to look back on. It's funny for other people, but never the person that's involved.
I've got a photo in front of me here.
Oh, here we go.
And JC is going to get this up on Twitter just to really make our afternoon. Of you in the Bendigo Advertiser with a set of car keys in your hand, Dal. Do you know the photo I'm talking about here?
That also got sent to me. I think, was that for TAC or something like that? Yeah, it was an advertisement.
They're not arms.
I was 17, by the way.
They're straws.
Yes.
They are not arms.
Pieces of linguine.
They're just flapping the breeze.
I was 17 when I got drafted, so I wasn't even allowed to drive yet. I did a commercial for them in the game, which is not wise.
17 and already taking urns and cheating money off
early.
People. You are
I'm
a beast.
I'm from Bendigo.
You are a beast. Now, last night, great night for one of your former teammates, one of your very good mates and former housemates, Brendan Goddard, spoke on open mic. He broke down when he told Scott Watters about the move to go from St Kilda to Essendon.
Yep.
He spoke about some of his time under Grant Thomas and all that sort of stuff. You got a mention in there as
did
well.
I?
Yeah.
Nice.
What do you mean, did I?
I missed it.
Huh? Surely you knew it was on.
I did. Unfortunately, we had a technical fault at my house and our TV got caught on a different channel.
Oh, don't tell me.
Bachelor in Paradise.
No.
Let me justify.
I can't believe you're saying this.
Well, Richie hasn't found love yet.
I couldn't care.
So he's come back for the third try. Now, they've gone to this island, this nice, lovely-looking island in Fiji. So Richie needs to find love. And I thought that was important.
There could be a reason that he hasn't found love.
Why is that?
he might be a flog. I mean, I don't know.
Character assassination.
I don't watch it, but
and Cass has come back. So she got heartbroken by the honey badger.
I'm certain of it.
The honey badger's broken Cass's heart. So she's come back for another try. So I'm hoping they all find someone and walk away happy.
The honey badger, this is the one that completely stuffed the whole concept of The Bachelor, didn't
he? So he's gone down to the final two and said no thanks to either of them. I think he started off with about 28. I mean, they're all there waiting for you, honey. You've just got to work through the numbers.
Life's tough, isn't it? Life's tough.
I haven't seen the Goddard open mic interview just yet. But
so you're telling me that you watched trashy reality TV over one of your best mates?
Yeah.
That's pouring his heart out on national TV.
Oh, that's pretty much what's happened. Yeah.
You are an extraordinary person.
I know BJ very well, and I'm sure I know most of the stories.
Probably.
And if I missed any, then I'll just ask him when we're having to hit a golf next.
I'm sure Fox Footy will be pumped to hear that too.
Did you see it?
I've watched enough of it. I haven't watched it in full. I did get
it. How did it come in all series?
Nah, good.
It came across okay?
I have always found BJ, I don't know him personally, but I've always found him to be incredibly well-spoken, incredibly intelligent, knows the game back to front.
Yes.
And, yeah, he wore his heart on his sleeve as a player, and that, you know, there was a table full of lollies that copped it at one point, and a few teammates that copped it at some point. But
yes.
One thing you always knew with Brendan Goddard is that you were getting effort every single time he was out there.
Yeah.
And I think you got to admire that.
Yeah, he's got an interesting story as well. So when you think about the people and the characters that have gone on open mic, he's recently out of the game, so he's got a different story to tell across two clubs, leaving one football club on, you know, different circumstances, you could say. Went to a new football club with the unknown that he was going to be made captain, and the 44 or pretty much the 30-odd players that he thought he was going to play with each week weren't there.
That was one thing that was very interesting, is that you have no idea what you're about to walk into. No one knew at that stage that Essendon was going to blow up as a footy club.
That's true.
Plus, you go back one step further. He, for all intents and purposes, he should have been at Carlton.
Yes.
Shouldn't have even been at St Kilda.
The salary cap.
Yeah, correct. Yeah. Okay. Yeah.
And he was a Carlton supporter as well.
Exactly right.
His whole family were.
Imagine what Carlton, sorry Blues fans, to bring this up one more time.
Yep.
I can get away with this because Andy's not here. But imagine how different life would be if that didn't happen and they weren't fined and they had Brendan Goddard and Daniel Wells at their footy clubs.
That's right.
Yeah, amazing.
End of 2001, I believe it was. Yeah. 2002 draft.
Yeah, it was very good. So yourself a favour. Pop home this afternoon.
I will.
And check it out.
Will do.
I want to pick your player's brain here. Someone who's been out of the game for only a couple of years and someone who I reckon the players enjoy talking to because you get it. When you see a story today in the Herald Sun, and this is not Herald Sun bashing because other outlets have done something with it too, of Joe Danaher being out socialising on a Saturday night. The story's not that he was found in a laneway or that he was escorted into an Uber or anything like that. He was just out having a social drink on Saturday night with a few friends in Fitzroy. What do you think about that?
Initially, it concerns me if that's what is doing the rounds in regards to that's what we need to talk about for a player.
Yeah.
Now, I can only assume that the lead-on story from that is that he's injured.
Yeah,
has been for
right.
a period of time,
yep.
and whether drinking is allowed at all when you're not part of the main group training or playing. That's the only reason that article can be mentioned, and that's why I guess it's circulating. My take on that, first of all, is it's okay to have a beer every now and then.
Of course it is.
I mean, within reason. Like, it doesn't read anywhere there, like you mentioned, that he's had a bender, he's had a massive night out, or he's compromising his recovery or his preparation. The talk is that he'll be maybe included for the Good Friday game. So that
seems that way, yeah.
So that's two weekends away, not this weekend, the following one. So there's enough time. Now my take, and you asked from a player's perspective, my take with drinking, and this is how we sort of went about it, if it ever compromised your recovery or your preparation, it was clearly a no. It was as simple as that.
Is that mostly with corkies?
Corkies are the big one.
Yeah, and because they bleed?
That's for obvious reasons. Yep. So if you have a corky, that the drinking or the alcohol does not help the recovery. That's clear as day. But from the mental side of it, we actually felt that having a beer was a really good way just to relax for a period of time. That the game, and it's enhanced even more, Jack. So I'm a bit removed. The focus, the pressure, I use the word anxiety, building into a game is so much that you actually needed a little bit of a letdown on the other side just to just chill out. Just be a human again for a period of time. And as much as we put these players on pedestals, people will refer to how much players get paid. They're still kids. They're still guys that are part of the community.
They're still humans.
They are. Unfortunately, they are, Jack. And that's why there's always mistakes. That's why there's drink driving incidents. That's why there's drug taking and there's alcohol. It's just they're a part of society. I felt individually and with the teammates that I grew up with that having a beer in the right circumstance and controlled was a nice way just to relax, just to let the week go before you get back into the next day's preparation. If it's 1, 4, whatever the amount of beers is, it actually is mentally nice just to chill out for a period of time. Yeah. If it compromises anything in regards to Joe Danaher's recovery, then it needs to be nipped in the bud. I don't think it is from that report about the way that he's gone about that Saturday night. No, it's a no issue for me at all.
This is the world we live in a way now. This world of camera phones and videos and whatnot.
Yeah.
Someone's gone out of their way or taken the time to let a media outlet or the club or whatever know.
Yep.
But they saw Joe out on Saturday.
Do they think
night.
They're helping?
I don't know.
And I'm not trying to get into the public side.
No.
But what is the point of that? I remember from the mid 2000s, it wasn't unusual for St Kilda to get a call or a message or an email on a Monday saying, "I saw so and so out drinking." But you're like, that's okay.
That's fine.
They're allowed to have a beer. Yeah. Once again, they're not injured. We played on a Friday or a Saturday. You are allowed to have a beer and join in with everybody else within reason once again. Yeah. If it gets out of control, then the players are really good at dealing with it. The coaches nip it in the bud straight away. There's enough people in football clubs and there's enough contacts. The net spreads so wide, they find out anyway.
Essendon have gone out of their way to make sure that they've just reminded everyone that they have no issue with it and that they don't believe that Joe having a couple of drinks would impede his way of getting back or how quickly he's going to get back.
Jack, the game is becoming more and more professional. We're well aware of that. You think about the amount of times that players spend at the club, the way that their time is spent and the amount of areas that they now cover. It's not just training on the football field and doing weights. There's meetings and there's everything, recoveries and everything that goes with being a professional footballer. But if socialising goes out of the game, we're in massive strife. That's another level.
As a universe, we're stuffed.
Of course we are.
Not just as an AFL or professional sport. As a world, we are completely buggered if that's a big problem.
We've got 1,800-odd players. I think we're actually pretty well behaved as a whole. Like, you look across other sports, across the globe and what some other people's getting up to, we're going okay. Let's not try and make them robots any more than what they already have to be.
If you've got a thought on this, jump on the AGN open line. Love winter, love natural gas. Australian Gas Networks. We'll get to your calls on the other side of the break. 1300 736 736. Quite a few of you expressing your thoughts on the text as well. Keep that coming as well on 0433 98 11 16. As we head to the break, here is John Worsfold discussing when Joe Danaher and also Cale Hooker will return to the Bombers lineup.
He's available now for selection, so he's ticked all his boxes, and a couple of other players, Matty D, they're available for selection, so if he doesn't get picked in the seniors, he'll definitely play VFL.
Joe Danaher out there early this morning, how far away is he?
Not far, no, so he's pretty much back in close to full training, doing full workloads. I'm not sure the exact time frame. Maybe next week he could be available to play, but whether that's limited minutes. So whether he'd be available for AFL selection, I'm not sure yet.
Jack Heverin filling in for Andy Marr one last time today. He will be back tomorrow. Nick Del Santo is in the studio this first hour. Sam Solomon to join me after 1 o'clock in the studio as well. Del, how do you reckon you'd go if we could get Sammy in here with a pair of mitts? Do you think you'd be able to impress him with all when your fists are in the air?
I reckon he could have mitts. I'd just have a white flag. Is that possible? I'm actually okay at sparring, technically. It's just when they take the mitts off and they're allowed to punch you back. Yeah. I used to have okay technique, believe it or not. I used to use it as a fitness.
You just don't like getting hit.
No, it comes back twice as hard. I didn't realise that because normally they're just catching them.
That can happen,
mate. It hurts.
Put your hands up.
Who wants to get punched in the nose?
It's a fair point. Ballpark Entertainment have packages available for the Anzac Day clash between Collingwood and Essendon, which Joe Danaher might be back for. Ballpark, visit ballparkentertainment.com.au for bookings and for information. A couple of calls on this one. I guess as two people who are sort of in that age bracket where we sort of maybe look at things a little bit differently to some,
yes,
we can't work it out. We can't work out why there's such a fuss. From what I can tell, he's done nothing wrong, Dal, and you're in the same boat.
I encourage it to a point.
Couple of calls on this one. Scotty's on the road. G'day, Scotty.
G'day, Jack. Dal, how are you?
Very good.
Dal, just give me a minute here. Why are we giving this airplay? I mean, some dodo has sent in a photo or whatever of Danaher having a drink. The same as these protesters that blocked off the city, instead of being arrested and no airplay, because that's what they're chasing, all that this country has gone totally mental on political correctness. And you speak to 5,000, not 4,999 aren't sick of it. Every single person in Australia is sick of what we've become. I mean, we shouldn't be giving these people airplay. That's what they want. They want you on the radio talking about it.
Well, Scotty, what we're trying to do here is talk to and pick Dal's brain from a player's perspective and also sort of get into the mind of the players, because I think we definitely are both on the side of Joe Danaher here in terms of that we want our players to be open, we want them to share, give us more access and all that sort of stuff. It's any wonder they close down when these sorts of things come to
light. There's been a spotlight put on it. We're here to discuss it, actually saying we're okay with it. We're condoning it so this doesn't continue. The worst thing we could have, and this is a bit broader than this, and I just referenced earlier about other sports and the way that they behave. The last thing that we would ever want in Australia is that AFL players and rugby players, wherever you may be in this country and whatever main code it is, that they have to socialise privately. You look at American sports, you look at some of the big sports in Europe, mainly soccer, they can't socialise. They can't walk down the street for different reasons. Yeah. The beauty about being an AFL player, the beauty about being an AFL supporter is you're still part of the community. You walk down to your local shops. You can still have a coffee. You can still go to your local pub and have a beer with Joe Blow, who's a knockabout tradie or whatever he may be, and you're a part of it. Mm. The last one, the last thing that we want is help me with this word.
Exclusivity.
Thank you, Jack. That's why you're here.
Got your back,
to say
brother.
That players can't be a part of the community.
Isn't it ironic in a way? I thought this morning over my Wheaties. Isn't it ironic that there's a story about this in the paper? And as I say, I'm not Herald Sun bashing. And in the same day, in the same paper, there's a story about why Buddy went to Sydney.
Yeah.
It's a correlation there, isn't there? David's in Craigieburn. G'day, David.
G'day, guys. How you going?
We're good.
Mate, I think this guy who's reported there, he needs to get a life.
Yeah, we agree.
I'll tell you what
we'll
do. David,
we agree.
We love you and we agree with you so much, David. You're off to the country game between Geelong and Essendon on May the 5th at the MCG. Go along and get amongst it. You've summed it up perfectly.
And have a beer and enjoy it.
You've summed it up perfectly. Hey, Dal, let's move on from there. You're here thanks to Scooty, two-wheel taxis. They make your trip exciting. Great to see Maj Akdor back at North Melbourne yesterday, running for the first time. He's got a lot of rehab still to go. It was pretty horrific injuries that happened.
Yep.
From a player's point of view, you know this inner sanctum stuff, we don't. What part of the healing process, or how big of the healing process for Maj Ak, which is ongoing, by the way, not for a second am I intimating that he's healed or anything like that, but how important would the footy club have been in the last 3.5, 4 months for Maj Akdor?
Great question, Jack. And it is, first of all, fantastic to see Maj Ak progressing. We saw him on the Ultra G, which is it's like a treadmill that fills up with air. And what it actually does is take part of your body weight off you, so you don't feel the full force of your body weight. With Maj Ak, did you see his arms again the other day? Spectacular.
He's an extraordinary human.
That's another conversation. But football clubs play an important part. To say that it's any more important than now his pregnant girlfriend, probably not. Than his family, maybe not. His close friends, maybe not. But it's right up there, Jack.
Yeah.
Football clubs are an amazing place for support, for care, and ultimately you care about the person, and the football is a result of their environment. But I think just the way that he's been received from the teammates, and you see these things being put on social media from the Kangas, they do a superb job with their media and give us access into the locker rooms or into the gym and now onto their training field. It's heartwarming to see.
Yeah, I agree.
There's different stories in AFL. It's not all first round draft picks and life's good and you're earning a fortune and you're a rock star. People go through different situations. There's 45 on a list. Everybody's different. But the beauty of AFL football clubs, and what I'm trying to say, is it's a great place to have structure in your life. It's a great place to go and enjoy yourself in a working environment.
Is it a good place to be? I mean, Majak's been to the lowest of lows, but is it a good place to be when things aren't necessarily going well in life, whether it be relationships or mental health or something?
I'll give you my experience with football. Training's a little bit different to a game in that you've got more time to think and it's more regimented in regards to what you do Monday to Friday. But in my 15, 90 years of football, not once did I think about anything else but football when that first ball was bounced.
Really?
The rest of the world, and I know this sounds a little bit crazy, but when I think about this, the rest of the world was blocked out for 2 hours of football every week.
I want to ask you more about that. I want you to explain that a little bit further. Plus, we'll talk about the Demons. They're on the road. Could that be the best thing for them? Stay with us. Nick Del Santo in the studio. Here's Steph with the news. Thank you, Steph. It's Afternoons here on SEN. Jack Heverin and Nick Del Santo. We're discussing Maj Akdor before the news, Dal, and how a footy club, through obviously Maj Ak being the lowest of lows, but through other situations in life, and how it can be a therapeutic place, a safe place for you in many ways. And you were talking about one such example.
Yeah, in regards to myself. I recall a particular game. I think it was actually the one against the Cats at Etihad Stadium, 2009, round 13, where neither of us had lost. And I had a little bit of stuff going on off the field personally. And I reckon I had one moment in the warm-up where I thought I needed to focus on football. But that was my last moment ever on a footy field that I thought about anything but the game.
Is that right?
As soon as that ball was bounced, once again, you're zoned in. And the world zones out.
But is everyone like that? Or were you able to get yourself into the headspace?
Well, I always said I was more of a relaxed sort of personality type, getting ready for games. There was more intense people than me, absolutely more intense. Mm. But I reckon once you play football...
Hello, Rui.
Hello, Brendan. There's quite a few players.
Was Drewy intense? One of the world's all-time blokes.
One of the nicest guys in the world. Jeez, he could switch on. You know, great. But that's what you want.
Yep.
That's what you want. The nicest guy off the field and a bit of a... P-R-I-C-K on the field. That's perfectly fine.
Thank you, Nick.
There. But what I'm trying to say, Jack, is football, you're zoned in and you have this focus. And even when you come in and out of games and you don't get a touch for 30-odd minutes, it's not because you're thinking about a relationship or you're thinking about this or that. It's football. It's in front of you and you're living it.
Yep. Fascinating. But
it's a good place to be.
I think what we do agree, it was great to see Matt Jack back
yesterday.
Yeah, it
was.
And there's
great.
Long way to go, but fantastic to see. To tomorrow night, you and I both headed up to Sydney. That game starts from 7 o'clock here on SEN. The two of us and Anthony Hudson and Adam Schneider.
Yeah, schnitzel.
Schnitzel.
He might have had a couple of schnitzels as well by the look of him.
I'd say that to his face tomorrow night and see if he might give you the Sam Solomon treatment tomorrow night. The D's are under pressure, all thanks to Peerless Products, market leaders for air compressors. Peerless Products, we are air. Do you think it's a good thing for Melbourne, or could it be a good thing for them to get out of town and play this game tomorrow night?
I think they're going to use it as a really good thing, and I reckon it's a great, not motivational tool, but it's a great reality check because you need each other on interstate trips. The hardest trip I still think is going to Perth, even though if you're playing the Dockers, for example, it's still a hard trip over there. You have minimal support. But the same thing's going to be for the D's tomorrow night at Sydney. Sydney is still under the pump. They're not off the hook yet.
They're not going
well. They had an okay win last week against an improving Blues. I don't want to take anything away from the Blues. They win by 2 or 3-odd goals. They've got a hell of a lot of work to do. I was up there a couple of weeks ago against the Crows. They were really poor. And I've still got some question marks over the Swans. The beauty for the D's is I think we're all just waiting for it to click. And I've been disappointed with their first 3 weeks for obvious reasons. Not even the score, but just the way they've gone about it. The beauty of going interstate is you need each other. You rely on each other. It's almost against this you against the world mentality. You have to generate your own enthusiasm. You kick a goal, you need to be not over the top, but you need to be animated to sort of get that feeling and that momentum into the game. I would love to think, and I would assume, that Simon Goodwin, the coaching staff, are pushing this through the playing group to say, this is us this week. No one else. There's 22 and some coaches. We need to go get the job done.
Are you expecting anything dramatic at the selection table tonight?
I think, injuries aside,
we don't know what Tom McDonald's going to do. We're not certain whether he's going to play or not.
But I think there's a tipping point with players. I think there's a tipping point with players where, as a coach, you're so invested in them as individuals and where they fit into the collective that you want them to do good and you want to back them in. And I would think that's the conversation over the last 3 weeks. You know, you could even have an upfront conversation in a review. You were really poor, whatever player it may be, but I'm going to back you in next week. I trust you to turn this around, do the things that we've asked you to do, and as a result, we win.
Yeah,
that could go through 22 players, Jay. Like, it can be very confrontational at times. You take it on the chin as a player, you get better and you move on. So this has been going for 3 weeks now. There has to be a tipping point, and the conversation could be, this is your last chance. It could be as clear as day as that. And I'm sure the D supporters will know better than I do who those players are. But this could be the final opportunity as it currently stands before they might have to go back and do some work in the VFL.
Nathan Jones's name has been discussed a lot. Is he, and he is the co-captain of the club, but is he taking the brunt of their bad form and their bad start to the year? Is he the, I guess in many ways, the scapegoat for them being 0-3?
Well, the difficulty with being captain and even more so part of the leadership group, you're held to a higher account, Jack. Yes, his form hasn't been good, but you're also the one that gets the accolades when things are going really well. Last year, he was a fantastic leader. Jack Viney's a fantastic leader. Max Gorn's the number one ruckman in the league. He's a fantastic player, leader. Unfortunately, as a leadership group, you also go down with the ship. Your name has to be mentioned. It's fair either way, and I'm a big believer in that. Nathan's form hasn't been great. We had a conversation on Monday and it was raised by Spud last week about him tagging. Now, the more you think about it, they've actually got Harms that's the number one tagger. And the reality is Nathan Jones has been squeezed out of that midfield. He needs to find
it's evolution.
This is the world we live in. It's fantastic when you're the number one midfielder and life's great and, you know, you're the top two every single time. But now you've got 3 or 4 other guys that are equal to you and passing you. That's just where the game's at. They need to give him, in my opinion, a specific role. Yep. I don't think it means that he's tagging in the middle because then that compromises their preferred mix. But there needs to be something specific for him. It could be a defensive forward role.
I was just about to say.
It could be go to Lloyd.
Could he go to Jake
there
Lloyd?
You go.
Stop looking at my notes.
It could be going to Jake Lloyd. Yeah. And you know what the beauty of the Swans is? And we've said this so many times. You know where they're going to line up.
Of course you do.
You could sit there and plot
line
them out.
Line up that way for 10 years.
Exactly. Yeah. And that's the beauty of the Swans when they win, that they just beat you at their system. But it's also their downfall when they lose, in my opinion, that it's so predictable, you know what they're going to do.
The D's are on the road this week. It's thanks to Dometic. Mobile living made easy. Achieve independent temperatures from two separate cooling compartments with the Dometic CFX dual zone range. We will be there tomorrow night from 7 o'clock alongside Hutto. I can't wait.
It's going to be a great game.
I'm going to have a very good wander on that SCG surface tomorrow night. We'll have a good look and see if there is something in what's been discussed. After this, you've pinched something from the NBA, an anonymous questionnaire, Del, that you want to have a chat about.
I do.
And you want to open the lines up too.
I do. So get ready to call, because this is going to be entertaining.
This could go anywhere.
Is it entertaining?
I'm slightly nervous about where it could go, but that's the beauty of radio. 1-300-736-736. Del's questionnaire is up next, and the Fine Wine Player of the Year vote's not too far away as well. Sam Solomon to join me after 1 o'clock here on Afternoons. We'll talk about the AFL and whether the way that you view the game is going to change in years to come. And we'll talk Winks next hour as well. 1-300-736-736. For Peerless Products, without peer, air compressors, air tools, drilling machines, peerlessproducts.com.au.
Well, off the back of an article that I read overnight, Jack, which the NBA have done, they've surveyed 127 current NBA players.
Righto.
It's anonymous, though. So this is the beauty of this. Okay, this is what you're thinking, but you'd never say publicly. And I know the Americans do it a little bit differently, but they've had to answer a series of questions on the current state of the game. So I'm going to go through them quickly, and then you can pick up off the back of it.
Thank you.
So they've asked for the MVP, the current MVP in the league. So this is between 127 current players. They've got James Harden, number one. They've got the most underrated player, Ja Rule Holiday. They've got the best defender, Kawhi Leonard. They've got the who would you like to build a team around? They've got the Greek Freak.
So yeah,
they've got
him as the number. I would have had Giannis as my MVP.
He's coming second.
Yep.
Just to go through them. They've got the best coach or coach you love to play under, Greg Popovich.
I thought Pop would be number one.
They've got the biggest issue in the game. They've gone with the officiating. So they're not a fan of the way.
Sounds familiar.
They've got the best ball handler, Kyrie Irving.
Yeah.
And they've got the greatest of all times. So this is over the history. Michael Jordan, 73%. LeBron James, 12%. But this is the one that I like. And this is, it's a little bit negative, but I don't mind a little drive-by every now and then. They've got the current most overrated player in the NBA.
Oh, boy.
And it's a draw between Russell Westbrook and Draymond Green.
Russell Westbrook?
17% each.
Russell Westbrook, are you serious?
Yeah.
Wow.
Old triple-double himself. They don't rate him. They think he's overrated. So that means someone is rating him. But the current players are saying that he's overrated. Which leads us
Draymond's probably built up his own hype, to be fair.
I'm not a massive fan of his anyway. I mean, you're playing in an all-star caliber team and you're just on the coattails, in my opinion.
Yeah, you're about sixth banana, buddy.
Lucky to get a game, really. Walks over three championships to this point, probably going to get another one.
Yeah.
Frustrates me.
Yeah, I know. I'll bet it does.
Yeah.
So, what we want to do here, you're going to just carve out a couple of these questions,
yes,
are you? Which questions are you going to carve out for our listeners? 1-300-736-736.
I want best disposal. So they've used best ball handler and best defender. So I want best disposal, though. So who's got the best skills in the competition?
Yeah, okay, I like that.
No, I don't mind that one, because the game's called football. It'd be nice to, you know, try and keep it to the same team instead of turning it over as much as we do. I want the current MVP. So I want to say at this point, who's the best player in the competition after 3 weeks? And I'm just going to go for one more. Who's the most overrated player? I had to throw it in. So three simple questions. The best disposal in the competition, the most overrated player, and the current best player in the competition after 3 weeks.
Our best caller on this, we're going to fire through a few. Our best caller, we're going to send off to St Kilda and Hawthorn Sunday afternoon at Marvel Stadium, 3:20.
Good game.
Jack Gunston might be one of the best ball users. You might think that he's one of the best kicks and you might put him in there. So just recap our three questions once again.
The best disposal user of the football, the most overrated player, and the current best player in the competition.
MVP.
We'll call it MVP. Most overrated player.
1-300-736-736. Are you willing to step out onto the plank first?
How about I come at the back? Because I don't want to preempt anything. I'll jump on the coattails of someone else.
Okay.
Because a couple have already come through and I didn't have them in my list. So I actually don't mind.
Harry's got the new ball in his hand. Hello, Harry.
How are you, boys?
We're good, mate. Let's fire off these questions. Dal, go for it.
Let's start with the current MVP. Who's the best player in the competition right now?
I would probably still say Lance Franklin.
Oh, after 3 weeks. Okay, yep. And then who have you got is the best... who's got the best skills?
Bontempelli.
Mm, yep.
Not bad.
Don't mind that one.
Yeah,
yep.
Like that.
Yep.
Like
and
that.
Who's the most overrated?
It's a tough one. most overrated, I would probably say Scott Pendlebury.
Oh, Scott Pendlebury's the most overrated.
He's taken down the Collingwood captain.
Yep.
Righto.
Yep.
Okay.
Harry, you're in the running. Dal, you're going to award the best caller out of these. Let's go to Berkey in Riverside. Hello, Berkey.
Hello, man. It wasn't Harry just straight off the top there.
love it.
Quick fire. I've got Pendlebury as well, boys, but has the best skills.
Okay.
Yep. Well done.
Yep.
I'm going to go with, I'm going with Lachie Neal. His first 3 weeks has just been outstanding. It's been all three games.
Yep. Very good. MVP Lachie Neal.
He's been phenomenal.
And what about the last one?
My most overrated is the human elbow. Just to do that when your side really needs you, to get Dusty what he did, just ridiculous.
Ooh. Dusty's most overrated.
Jeez, we've turned on Dusty quick, haven't we?
Berkey's just mowed down a Brownlow medalist along the way, Berkey.
Oh, wow, he had the best season in history 2 years ago. Last year was real handy, and he's had a quite-ish un-Dusty-like first 3 weeks and most overrated player.
This is uncovering some real enigmas here. I like this. Let's go to Rick in Preston. Rick?
Yo, how you going?
We're good. Let's start from the top. Who's the current MVP after 3 weeks? Best player in the comp?
Paddy Dangerfield by a mile.
He would be mine.
Hard to argue. What about the most skillful player in the competition after 3 weeks?
Probably a little bit biased here, but still side bottom.
Very good kick of the footy.
Yeah,
very good kick of the footy.
Both sides of the body as well.
I think that's got to be worth something. Yep.
No issue with that. And what about the most overrated?
Most overrated, I agree with the other bloke, Dustin Martin. I'll tell you why.
Tell us why.
Okay. So, not so much this year, but I think over the last few years, I think he's overrated. And you guys say he had the most spectacular year when he won his Brownlow in the grand final. But I just think that he happened to put himself in the right positions at the right time. This might be knee-jerk, but I'm just saying that I just think that I don't really think he won a lot of his own ball except in one-on-one contest in the forward line. I don't think he was an in-and-under sort of midfielder who would get in it because he's always played in the forward line. I don't know. I don't rate him as a midfielder. If that's anything to say, boy, that's why I just think he's a little overrated because he's in the midfield. I don't really think he does a lot.
They're your awards, yeah. Rick. You can nominate whoever you like. Thank you for your call. Let's go through a couple more. Steve's in Carnegie. Steve.
Howdy, lads. How are we?
Very good afternoon. We're good. Who have you got for the MVP? Who's the best player in the comp?
I think it's hard to argue against Lachie Neal to start the way he started this year.
Yep. Great call. What about the most skillful player in the competition?
A bit left of centre, looking up in Sydney at Lachie Whitfield.
Great call, man. Great call.
Lovely.
Skills are just exquisite.
Yep, correct. So, his left-footed kicks, being his non-preferred, a beautiful thing to watch. Yep, great one. And what about the most overrated after three?
The most overrated, in my opinion, it's coming from Collingwood again, but it's Adam Treloar.
Gets a lot of it.
Yeah, a bit.
Why?
Bit different. He does get a lot of it. Just, I guess, his efficiency and use by foot. It's just something which I think if he starts hitting just a few more targets, like I have no doubt he breaks the lines and that sort of stuff, which is crucial for them. But his disposal efficiency and things like that, I think that they are overrated, in my opinion.
Well, you're not alone on the SMS machine. There is a couple of Treloars. I'm not sure if they're Collingwood supporters, but it all does relate around his ball use. So it's not a question of whether he gets it or not. It's just how he uses it after that, Jack.
A couple of Whitfields off the text too, which I like.
Oh, you know, I didn't even have Whitfield down.
I had him as number two.
I feel disappointed in myself. He's beautiful to watch, Lockie Whitfield. Smooth moving, rolls onto his left, picks the opposition apart.
Jeff's from Diamond Creek. He wants to fly into this one. G'day, Jeff.
Yeah, good afternoon, chaps. Back to the old school days when you line them up on a wall. MVP still is Nat Fife at Freo.
Yeah.
Most skillful, without a doubt, Collingwood supporter, Sean Higgins, Kangaroos. Dale, you should be able to back me up there.
Yeah, I just don't want to give him any credit, though. Sorry. He's handy. I just don't want to give him any airtime.
All right. And the most overrated, and I'll probably get Howard down, but it's got to be Charlie Kurnow-Carlton.
fifth-year player now, and he still doesn't produce.
That's a tough
one. Contentious, but it's your opinion. Yeah. This is the beauty of throwing this open. It's contentious, but...
It's tough for Charlie Kuhner because we have pumped him up. We've all pumped him up. And he hasn't had a great start to the year in regards to what we're expecting. But it's sort of a hard one because he's still young and building.
Mark's from South Melbourne. He's our last one on this. G'day, Mark.
G'day. The MVP for me would be Lachie Neale.
Mm. Yep.
And because of best on ground every week. Most skillful, I would say, would be Jay O'Meara.
Yep.
And the most under or overrated player, Petrarca.
Okay. Yeah. We are going to convene during the break. Thank you to all of your calls. We've got a prize to give away for our best caller as well. We will convene. Dal will reveal yours. I'll reveal mine. Plus, Dal's Fine Wine Player of the Year votes. Stay with us. You'll be very, very interested to see where this goes. It's Afternoons on SEN. Steve from Carnegie, give us a call back. You're off to the footy this weekend. A double pass valued at over $50 to the Saints and the Hawks. The Fine Wine Player of the Year votes, Dal.
Well, we've only got a short amount of time, so I'm going to get straight to it. It's Travis Boak this week. And this is off the back of... He's had some great performances this year, so it's not a cumulative thing. It's this one-off, round three. He had 35 disposals, 2 goals, 4 tackles, 7 clearances and 15 contested possessions. A man that's accepted his role mostly out of the midfield.
He's creeping
back in there at different times. But he has had a superb start to the year. So he gets the Fine Wine Player of the Round. And stiff bickies to Sean Higgins. Yeah, he was second.
You just didn't want to put Sean Higgins in.
To be completely honest, I had his name written down. I scribbled it out.
Yeah, I figured that.
I can't give it to him.
Does Ricky Henderson qualify for this?
Why wouldn't he?
Is he old enough?
Yeah, I think so. I could quickly check my list. No, he's not 30 yet. I think he's one of the guys that turns... I think he's 29. 29? I think he turns 30 during the year, so not quite. Half of the year.
Keep your eye on him for the second half of the year, though, when he ticks over. It's like being all of a sudden old enough that you can get into the over 28s. Keep your eye on that.
His hair's over 30. He's got the greys coming through, doesn't he?
He's playing good footy.
He is playing good football.
I'll see you tomorrow night.
We'll do. Look forward to it. It's going to be a great game.
Nick Del Santo from 7 o'clock tomorrow night, AFL Nation, as the Swans and the Demons will kickstart us for round 4. Coming up next hour... And joining me in studio to start us off, one of Australia's greatest, Sam Solomon. Look at him. He's still fit and raring to go. What an athlete he is. The super athlete. The premier athlete in Australia. He's up next.